The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. That's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh. Ecclesiastes 3, the review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, here you go, here's your question. Which area do you need to have more joy in? Wow. What area in your life do you need to have more joy in? The joy of the Lord is our strength. What area do you and I need to have more joy in? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that sad. Just reach out and give us a call. It probably won't hurt. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Wow, that's a great song. Great job. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like feeling confident that you have done your very best.
Aww.
Aww. That's good. Good song choice, my friend.
Thank you, thank you. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Next time you play it, make it even louder. I like it. I like it. I like it. Okay.
I thought it'd be funny since it wasn't too long ago we had a bunch of Billy Joel references on the show.
Yeah, sounds like it worked out pretty good for me. And then you'll just keep rotating. Fantastic. I love that. Excellent job. Mega props. Here's your golf clap. Ready? All right, that's all you get. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We welcome you to the show. Of course, look, if you've got something you want to share, if you've got a praise report, well, we tell you all the time, there's a reason for it. It's not just for this show. It's for anywhere. It's for at your church, when you're talking to people, when you have family, when you have friends, when you're talking to your kids, when you're talking to your parents, when you're talking to your siblings. It doesn't matter. A praise report, the first thing it does is gives glory to God. Hallelujah. Right? Glory. Glory. Right? Number two, it gives you reassurance and affirmation of the very testimony you have had. Number three, it blesses other people who hear it. That is a threefold powerful tool. That's what happens when you share praise reports. When you have a prayer request, we take our faith, put it with your faith, the whole element here. Understanding 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 is that we are the body of Christ. We rejoice with one another. We weep with one another. We care for one another. We carry one another. We love one another. I don't care what your background is. Is God Almighty, the King of the universe, creator of all that there is he your heavenly Father? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you drink from the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God given out through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, given by grace and love from the Father? Let me just ask you, if that's you, you're my brother or sister. And so it is with every one of us. So we join together and we pray and we bring our faith together and say, yes, Lord, we petition. That's what the body of Christ is called to do. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Oh, well, that's good. That's part of carrying and caring for one another. So if you've got a prayer request, bring it. We'll deal with it. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. It's the very element of our Christian faith manifest. Maybe instead of calling, though, you're like, yeah, I don't want to call. Talking to you is weird. I think that might be true. You can text. How about that? 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
Very robotically, you like, right? Very, ooh, ooh, yuck. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's the safest way. David@hemustincrease.org. Keep in mind, though, if you're going to go out your front door, if you're in your car and you roll down your window and you start screaming, I probably will not hear you. Okay? I'm just letting you know that ahead of time. So it can be a praise report. It can be a prayer request, something that's on your heart, something that's on your mind, something the Lord has shown you, something you want to share. Hey, great. Let's fellowship. That's the whole idea. What's a fellowship? A fellowship are two people in the same boat. That's why it's called fellowship. Get it? You're in the boat together. Get it? Okay. So here we go. We're going to dive into our scripture. I just want everybody to be aware of a couple things. Later on today, we're going to be praying for the body, for the people that are listening, in regards to people that are dealing with fear. Dun, 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 dun. I mean fear. You know, the fear that robs your faith. We're going to pray with that and pray about that in a little bit. But before we get there, we've got many other things to cover. We are in Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48, starting with verse 11, it says this: let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her, count her towers, mark her bulwarks well, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Wow. There is nothing we read on this show that is not just lights out wow, because it's scripture, right? Psalm 48, verse 11 says this: Mount Zion rejoices that the daughter of Judah are glad. Mount Zion rejoices that the daughters of Judah are glad, or be glad. Here's the thing. Mount Zion, the center place of worship for God Almighty. What does that mean? The daughters of Judah are glad. I'm going to make sure you hear this. If you miss this, I'm going to be really upset with you, and I'm going to take my ball and go home. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. I am not a person who promotes positive thinking and speaking by themselves. Oh, positive. Always say something positive. Always think something positive. I just don't see that in Scripture. I think it's very clear in Scripture. Through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. I'm not sure why that's a bad thing, knowing that God works things out for good. So even if you go through the tribulation, something's coming on the other side. So I'm not one of those positive thinking, positive speaking people. It's just not who I am. However, I am a Bible-believing, born-again Christian who promotes biblical thinking and biblical speaking. Now, what's the difference there? Because not every moment should be a moment of laughing. We do some of that, but we also do crying on the show. We have moments of challenge. We have moments of serious contemplation, direct confrontation with sin. We have moments where we pray for people. We have people call up. They weep. They share. They laugh. All of it. That's the abundant life, by the way, because it's living. You're not stuck as a slave to anything. You're free. And so as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, I am very committed to biblical thinking and biblical speaking. And the process there, Paul said in Romans, is as I believe, therefore I spoke. Okay, so there's that connection. So there are times to laugh and there are times to cry. There are times to be glad and there are times to be sad. Look at Ecclesiastes. It's not a fluke. Look at the life of Jesus. There's a lot of powerful positive. There was a lot of challenge and negative. There's all of it. In this text, we're directed to be glad because God is faithful. And he will determine the crosses and the crowns that we encounter. Can I say that again so that people might pick up on that? God is faithful. He has never abandoned any one of us. He has never forsaken any one of us. He's never failed any one of us ever in anything. And he will determine the crosses that we have to bear and the crowns that we get to wear in our encounter on this journey. So in this text, in this portion, the Lord expresses at the center point of worship on the earth that the daughters are glad because God is faithful in his judgments. There is a time, folks, for you and I to bow the head and bow the knee and to just say, not mine, but thy will be done. Even just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, the thing that we face is tragic. That's true. There are also times where you, by the grace of God, are given the opportunity to dance, to rejoice, to laugh, to be glad. There's two things that I have a hard time with. See, I know you guys get me a little bit on this. So it's like you recognize that you can't always go around being Eeyore. Okay? Ready? Eeyore.
Oh, my goodness. It's my birthday.
I mean, some people do that. So Christians do that. It's like, are you saved? You know they're saved, but you're like, what is wrong? Why don't you turn that button off that says everything is cloudy all the time? Okay, just change that. That's not true at all. It's not. There's so many things you can count to be rejoicing. The fact that you woke up this morning and God gave you another day for you to partner with him, you could rejoice in that. The fact that people who don't even know you will try and take time to encourage you, you can rejoice in that. That people will pray for you, you can rejoice in that. That people will listen to you, share something, you can rejoice in that. Turn the button. Now, on the other side of that candle, burning the candle at both ends. Okay, at the other side of that candle is simply this. The people that always go, everything's howdy-doody time. It's howdy-doody time. It's howdy-doody time. Everything's a smile. Everything's a... It's like, no, that's not that way either. I've told you about this story before. It drives me crazy. You know, people come... I walked into a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, when I wasn't pastoring at that point, and somebody goes, hey, put on your Jesus smile, your Jesus face. That's the only face you can have walking in here. And I just said, which one? The one where he's healing people or the one where they crucified him on the cross? Well, that was the end of that conversation. Because there are times for everything. See, it's not always howdy-doody time, and it's not always Eeyore time. Come on. God has given you wonderful things, but there's also things you have to encounter because you know what? Sin is on this planet. Now, you are free from the penalty of sin, but you are still operating and understanding being free from the power of sin, but you are not yet free from the presence of sin, which is why it's a sinful world. So we rejoice that we came out of, and we rejoice of what we're going into, and we deal with what's in between. It's like, that's it. And so this, the daughters of Judah, be glad. Mount Zion rejoices. There is a time to rejoice. And I will tell you that people, you know what, in this society, the way things are going, the way things the governments are set up, and the way the media communicates, the way the academics, and we just had a significant college just say, we're not using the Bible anymore. A Bible college, listen to this, not using the Bible as their standard of faith anymore. Well, guess what? It's no longer a Bible college. In fact, it's no longer a Christian college. Period. If you were ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you, Jesus said. Well, by that statement, Jesus is highly likely to be ashamed of that, isn't it? Isn't he? But at the same time, there's so much to rejoice in, so much to, and we stand fast in the truth. Guess what? We read the end of the book. We win! Yay! We win! You're going to win! Can you believe? You're going to win! You're going to win! It doesn't matter. You're going to win. It's like, but Dave, there's so much darkness. There's so much evil. Yeah, I know. But there is this dude that we know, and he is the light of the world. And for all the darkness that's there, there's greater light. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the light that's coming, the second round of light, ho-ho, that's the one we're all like going, come on. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come on. Let's go. Let's do it. We're ready. Right now. This is fantastic. So look, you live your life in a certain sense of wisdom and tension, which is why the Bible says don't turn to the left or the right. By the way, it also says don't turn to the right or the left. You don't try to walk in the extremes. You walk in the balance of truth. And here's the truth. God saved you. You're still going through the different trials as he's making you look more and more like Jesus. And there's many things yet to be done for the kingdom he hasn't shared with you yet. And you'll go through them because that's his plan. But at the end of it all, again, just like the rejoicing in the beginning, you get to rejoice at the end. And at the end, we win. That, my friends, is an outstanding message to give encouragement to every believer. God has never abandoned you. He will not fail you. You will prevail because he is committed. That is the Christian faith. Hallelujah. How could you not go, yeah, that's, we need that. Yeah, we do. There's times to weep, but there's times to dance. And if you don't know how to two-step, fake it. I can't dance. That doesn't mean you don't try. Here's your first trivia question of the day. Here we go. Get ready. Of all the biblical men, of all the biblical men, of all the Bible men and Bible women, if you want to throw that in, oh, it's not necessary. Who was the oldest? Was it Methuselah, Adam, or Noah? Your answer is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 27. That's where your answer is. And oh, by the way, I'm going to send you up to the website because there's cool things on the website. There's always cool things on the website. We spent a lot of time doing that list. I spent a lot of time doing that. And let me just say this as well. Whether you're in San Diego right now at 11:48, Denver at 12:48, Dallas at 1:48, or Detroit at 2:48, you can go to the website and check out all the different stuff we have. You can put on the prayer request or the praise report forms. Totally up to you. And there's also a place to give, and we encourage that. And we recognize if you give, you're giving in faith, just like you give anywhere else. And you give it unto the Lord. That's where you give it. And you trust the Lord sees it, and he'll deal with it and take care of it. We'll do the best we can to be good stewards of it. We're not giving you a ring or a whistle because you give. Okay? Here's the scripture for the day, Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We encourage you to check all that stuff out on the website. Many, many, many cool things there. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Now I gotta confess, that's how I feel. I'm operating today.
I just feel like I'm on the high level here going,
I've got my little saber thing going, get in my way, cut, 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 cut. If you think this has been uplifting and encouraging, wait till we get to the next 60 minutes. You're going to be like going, what happened to you? Nothing. I just feel like the Lord is really trying to teach us to expect more in 2024, and I'm sick of not doing it. That's all. And at some point you get sick of things, you go, you know what, that's enough. That's how you feel. All right, our trivia question, we have somebody on hold that's going to answer. I just want to refer it again. The biblical men, who was the oldest, Methuselah, Adam, or Noah? Your reference point Genesis 5:27. So we're looking for the oldest dude on the regular plane. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let us, bacon and tomato, let us send them through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Tommy.
Who's this?
Tommy.
Hi, Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome. I want to thank you for calling. Thank you for taking the time to call us.
I didn't think I had the right number. Every time I called, I got a bad connection. So, yes, I'm glad.
Praise the Lord. Oh, you got through. Praise the Lord. This must mean something important. So I'm going to set it up for you, and then I'll let you hit it out of the park, okay?
All right.
Here we go. Of the biblical men, who is the oldest? Methuselah, Adam, or Noah?
Methuselah.
That is correct, Mendoza! You are right. He was. Do you remember how old he was?
He was 969, I think it was.
That is correct, Mundo, again. Yes, sir. You're on a roll. Yeah, that's great. Excellent job. Right both times. That's very, very good. Excellent job. Is this your first time calling, Tommy?
Yes, this is.
Oh, you got to call more often. You're a blast. It's fun
All
to
right,
talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless, bro.
Yeah.
Bye bye. Right. Excellent job. See? Fun. It's okay. It's all right to smile.
Is it okay to smile?
Yes. And just remember, when the Lord comes, and let's just say, let's not even argue, let's just say it's a premillennial dispensational rapture, and you hear, da-da-da, and we're all going up in the air. Just let's all say this. You can get that one second and go, see? See, I told you guys. Okay. I'm sorry. I find that funny. All right, let me go back. You're listening. What does that say about you? Let me go back to the text. Here we are in Psalm 48. Let me get to the rest of this. He says this. It says this. It says, mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation to follow. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Wow. And some people are thinking, wow, that doesn't sound necessarily, you know, positive or uplifting. It's like, oh, no, it's very positive and uplifting. Let's understand this, that God is built as being steadfast and secure are the things in our lives. We have to recognize the things that God has built in us and for us, that they're steadfast and secure. To help you understand, we're told to consider them to be bulwarks. A bulwark is a strong wall that's able to sustain powered pressure. That's what God is for us, a bulwark. He's a secure wall that helps us sustain the pressure. We're told to consider the palaces. We're told to tell the next generation so they may know what we've witnessed, which, by the way, many people have failed to do, which is why the generation grows up and goes, the Lord who? That's just a problem. The foundations, the buildings, and the works created by God in and around our lives are the things to tell the next generation. What has God done? What foundations has he laid in you? What buildings has he created in you? What works has he created in your life and for you and with you? That's what we should be sharing with the next generation. Now, verse 14 often gets missed, and I'm not going to miss it today because I like verse 14, and I like the verses that people go, I didn't get that. I'm not following that. Verse 14, for this is God, our God, forever and ever. So I want you to catch this. There used to be a popular show called This Is Our Life. Remember that show? It was cute. It was a TV drama thingy kind of thing. It was cute. But the scripture makes it clear. This is our God. Do we want to know what God is like? His word will manifest himself in such a way that our relationship becomes dynamic with him and brings us into this place of prayer. This is our God. He is our God forever and ever. He's not a temporary guide. He's a permanent king. That's who you serve. The king of the universe. And then I have to laugh because I'm that, you know, half academic. What's it? Half-wit academic? That may be more accurate. Where it says this, he will be our guide even unto death. So there's some discussion about the Greek Septuagint says even unto eternity, and then the Hebrew scripture says even unto death. I think people who are arguing over these two word choices are missing the scripture. I really do think that, just in case you're wondering. Well, we are eternal now, but at death it takes on a whole new set of clothing. So that's how long he'll be our guide, from now until there is no more time. That's what it means, even unto death. And it's like, that's kind of the meaning there. So it doesn't matter whether it says eternity or death. That's the kind of stuff that's dumb. People argue about dumb things. Let's argue about better things, or at least more profitable things anyway. Bottom line is this: he will always, always be our guide. He's guiding you now. Guess what? That's never going to stop. When you put on immortality, he'll still be there. He'll be guiding all of us forever. This is not a temporary thing. You know, I worked for a temporary labor company when I was a younger kid. Hey, guess what? Those jobs were, guess it, temporary. Okay, that's why they called them that. Guess what? God is not temporary. His reign is not temporary. His guidance and his love and his commitment to you is not temporary. It's permanent. Now, whether you're in San Diego or whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Detroit, you can keep listening to this show by going to HeMustIncrease.org. Hit the listen live button. If you're in Dallas land, just hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Destroying
everyone. Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord. And you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
What's going on? Huh? Yeah. You want to know the answer to that,
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do – I mean, how do you – I mean – my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to sit
have to
there and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent,
excellent answer.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Right. We roll. That's a great question. Did he sneeze in his face?